Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Radio Islam International with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. Ever so often, the ulama profile such an alim that perhaps in our lifetime we might never see a person like that. His greatness, his grandeur, the achievements, the personality of such an individual. And every time we speak about the ulama as such, we always take something and we learn so much from them. Today, I think, is none the better because we have one of the great ulama of the world who was known as the Mufti Azam, the great Mufti of Pakistan. There's a lot that we need to go through in Hazrat Mufti Saab's life and with regards to the lessons that we take from there. We speak to two or three guests this evening, and we are profiling this evening Mufti Rafi Uthmani Saab, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who had passed away in the week. We have my colleague. When I say my colleague, we studied hips together. But I must say he has surpassed me by miles, mashallah. And Allah has taken lots of work from him. He also is employed by the Jamiatul Ulama. He has the Eco-Fund desk. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Hafiz Saab. Mufti Saab, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mulana, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and to all the listeners of Radio Islam International. I hope that you are well this evening, Mulana, and from the bottom of my heart, shukran jazilan for the opportunity and for the invite on your program.
Jazakallah. Mufti Saab, you were fortunate enough where you were able to study in Karachi, Pakistan, where Mufti Rafi Uthmani Saab was an ustad and a teacher. So naturally, you would know him better than probably most of us. Well, what was your link or your relationship with Mufti Rafi Uthmani Saab?
My link with Mufti Rafi, Muhammad Rafi Uthmani, rahimahullah, goes back to the time when I was motivated by my parents and mine and your Hafiz Ustad Hafiz Ibrahim Musa Lorgat. To pursue the Alim course under the auspices of the Binoni Muslim Jamaat. And with that motivation, I commenced with the course. And after 3 years, under the tutelage of my honorable teacher, Mufti Masood Ahmad Ibrahim, he deemed it appropriate for me to enjoy some international exposure. So he facilitated everything from interviews at the Pakistan Embassy to obtaining visas for travel, and even to the airport drop-offs for departure, and eventually admission into Darul Ulum Karachi, Jamia Darul Ulum Karachi, that is. So after 4 years in Darul Ulum Karachi, Allah Ta'ala takes me through His grace and mercy to the final year, and here begins my formal relation with Mufti Muhammad Rafi Uthmani, rahimahullah, where in the final year, Allah Ta'ala blesses me with an opportunity to learn and pursue Kitabul Iman from Sahih Muslim in great depth for the entire year. Many ulama would be familiar with the fact that just Kitabul Iman from Sahih Muslim is approximately 40 to 50 pages, maybe, depending on the type of print one is using. But Mufti Muhammad Rafi Uthmani, rahimahullah, would take the entire year to illustrate and to teach and tutor his students. He would go in great detail. In addition to this formal relation with Mufti Muhammad Rafi Uthmani, rahimahullah, I enjoyed an opportunity to draw from his monthly sessions that he would convene with students. After Maghrib Salah, he would make an announcement that no one's allowed to be in their rooms. Everyone has to sit in the masjid. And he would affectionately address the students. Together with that, I also enjoyed many frequent masjid interactions during the various salah times, as he would frequent the masjid and perform salah with the students. So that's very much where my formal link to Mufti Muhammad Rafi Uthmani, rahimahullah, commenced and was maintained towards the end.
So Mufti Saab, obviously there would be many different angles to the life of Mufti Saab. His dars would be one. The method of administration would be one. But perhaps maybe we can look at the aspect of what was Mufti Saab like as a disciplinarian?
This is a good question, because this is indeed an outstanding trait of Mufti Muhammad Rafi Uthmani, rahimahullah. Whenever we talk about a disciplinarian or refer to an individual as a disciplinarian, we often think of that person as an individual who is strict, whereas a disciplinarian is not necessarily someone who is strict. Rather, it is an individual who molds another to bring out the best of the individual. And a true disciplinarian is someone who allows you to reach your full potential in terms of how to conduct yourself as a human being in this world, during your life in this world. So one example of the disciplinarian personality which I saw in Mufti Muhammad Rafi Uthmani rahimahullah was demonstrated in the form of this aspect of salam. If you carefully study the literature on hadith of on salam, relating to salam, it would definitely reveal that there's a greater emphasis on the words of salam than on the action of salam, in the sense that there's greater emphasis on using the words of salam as opposed to using the hands and making physical contact for greeting purposes. So this is the result of even Mufti Muhammad Rafi Uthmani's own study of the hadith relating to the topic of salam itself. So on that aspect alone, I saw a great disciplinarian, in the sense that if you could help it, if you ran into him or you needed to speak to him about something, if you could help it, it would be best and in your interest to actually refrain from giving your hands and just greet him using the words of salam and then present your case, as opposed to insisting on shaking his hand and then presenting your case. He would be very sensitive to this kind of thing, and he would in fact individuals who are close to him would advise visitors that if you do go to meet him, just greet with your words, rather say your salam loudly, and then present your case. Similarly, if one were to, say, example, meet him earlier in the recent past, or to shake his hand, enjoy the opportunity of shaking his hand, and then meet him not so long later, he would be very reluctant to give his hand if he knew that he already gave his hand earlier on, or not so long ago. He would prefer that you actually just continue with what you need to be saying, as opposed to insisting on using the hands to greet an individual or to greet him, so to say. And the third manifestation of this aspect of his temperament and as a disciplinarian was that I personally witnessed a few incidents of this throughout my 4 or 5 years there, that when individuals would bring their young children to greet Mufti Muhammad Rafi Uthmani rahimahullah, and they would insist that make salam, they would be saying make salam, salam karo in Urdu, they would be saying make salam, and they insisting that the child should give their hand to make salam. And he would insist that it's not necessary for them to force a child to give the hand to make salam. Rather teach and instruct a child to use the words, use their mouth or to pronounce the words of salam, because that is where the virtue lies. If you think about this particular aspect of his life and his temperament, it demonstrates a lot of relevance for our time and age, in the sense that many a time we engage in conversation and somebody, your chain of thought is going in a particular direction, and then a passerby decides to greet and give his hand. It means well, but from a true spirit of the teachings of the ahadith, as we see practiced by our senior ulama, such as Mufti Muhammad Rafi Uthmani rahimahullah, it is not part of etiquette to actually be giving a hand at that time. Rather greet with a gesture or with just the words itself and walk away, because if you were to interrupt at that time, it would disturb the chain of thought of the individual who is maybe engaged in some kind of conversation or some kind of act of worship, or maybe their hands are wet or there's something in their hands. Many a time you find there are cases where you're getting something and somebody's insisting on making salam and using the hands to make salam, which can be quite offensive. Similarly, in terms of children, how we rear children, we often insist that they make salam, give their hands, and in the process we actually fluster the child to a point where they begin to cry and they become like they close up. Whereas in the true spirit of the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the context of salam, it is important, more important for us to be engaging our children to make salam using the words of salam as opposed to the actions of salam. So this is just one aspect among many others in terms of the temperament of Mufti Muhammad Rafi Uthmani rahimahullah that I had the privilege of seeing, and this spoke volumes to this day for me in my life in terms of his personality being a disciplinarian and the kind of role he played in my life on this particular aspect of his life.
Mufti Saab, I understand you're always very busy. I do not want to take much of your time. If there's anything else Mufti Saab wants to add, Mufti Saab can do so, and then on that we'll take leave, inshallah.
Inshallah. The second point is the aspect of, in terms of Mufti Muhammad Rafi Uthmani, rahimahullah's personality-wise, his eye for detail. And in terms of how Mufti Saab himself manifested this eye for detail in terms of the standard he had set for the construction and the interior of Jamia Darul Uloom Karachi. He had traveled abroad and extensively and exposed him to a standard that would make sure that his own setup would appeal to students of even the most advanced countries. So if anyone who has been or is not yet enjoyed the opportunity to visit Jamia Darul Uloom Karachi, they would bear testimony to the fact that the campus itself far exceeds the entire city in terms of quality of buildings and the infrastructure. And Mufti Saab demonstrated this in terms of just believing that in order for anyone to pursue the most treasured form of learning, the environment should be conducive and comfortable. And with this, against this backdrop, he ensured, and he went to great lengths to ensure that he paid attention to detail as best as he could to make sure that the environment was conducive and comfortable simultaneously for the pursuit of deeni knowledge. To this day, I make dua for him as regularly as I can, and I make dua that Allah Ta'ala elevate his stage and make his passing easy to bear on the family and the people of Pakistan and the entire Muslim world.
Mufti Saab, Jazakum Allah so much for your time. May Allah accept all the services he has granted you the ability to do, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take more and more work from you.
Ameen. Shukran jazilan, Mawlana. Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullah. There is a colleague of mine, and obviously colleague is because we were in the Hifz class together, but naturally my senior due to the fact that he's achieved so much in the field of commerce and Islamic, in Ecofin, etc., at the Jamiatul Ulama, and we are so grateful for people of that sort that are employed at the offices of the Jamiatul Ulama, South Africa. We have another senior alim. I would also say my senior, somebody who's not new to the ulama profile. Wallah, always, whenever we request his presence, always obliging, and we ever grateful for his presence, and that is Mufti Shafiq Jakura. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and assalamu alaikum to the listeners of Radio Islam this evening.
Mufti Saab, you know, I remember in one of the meetings that we were held, I don't recall if it was a formal or informal, you made mention of your interaction with Maulana Yunus Patel Saab, rahmatullahi alayhi, and how he almost kind of reprimanded you to go and study Islamic finance. Do I recall that correctly?
Yes, so it was something to that effect. I was in my Dora year in Madrasa Talimuddin in Isipingo Beach. And Maulana Yunus Patel Saab, rahmatullah alayhi, Allah ta'ala fill his qabr with noor, he insisted on me after Dora to go to Darul Uloom Karachi, and he said to me that we need people in the field of Islamic finance, and you have got family in Pakistan, it's easy for you to get your visas, etc. So I want you to go and study in Darul Uloom Karachi. And honestly and truly, the exposure that gave me, the foresight of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Saab, rahmatullah alayhi, the work that I've been able to achieve in various fields, very much has to do with the interaction, the going to Darul Uloom Karachi, the learning and understanding of the mizaj of these great akabir of the deen, one of whom passed away last week Friday, our great Ustad and rector, fondly known in Darul Uloom Karachi as Sadar Saab. Okay. So he is known in Darul Uloom Karachi as Sadar Saab, and Mufti Taqi Usmani Saab, Damat Barakatum, is known as Naib Sadar Saab, which in English translates as the president or the rector of Darul Uloom Karachi, and Mufti Taqi Usmani, Naib Sadar Saab, the deputy rector, deputy president of Darul Uloom Karachi.
So Mufti Saab, in terms of your interaction, particularly with Mufti Rafi Uthmani, rahimahullah, given the fact that the program is about him, what was your first interaction? And take us through that, and perhaps some of the lessons you've learned in the interaction, etc.? What Mufti Saab?
So the reality is that I don't recall the very first interaction because it would have been very many years before I even went to study. Because every time we visited Darul Uloom or we visited Karachi, we would go and meet these elders of Darul Uloom Karachi and the elders of the Ummah. But when I went to study in Darul Uloom Karachi after my Dora Hadith and I took Dakhla and admission into the Takhassus Fil Ifta, which is a specialization in Fiqh and Fatwa course, which is a three-year course in Darul Uloom Karachi, then in the very first year, Hazrat Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, fill his qabr with Noor, Ameen. He taught us one of the very important kitabs of Ifta and becoming a Mufti, which is Shara Uqood Rasmul Mufti, in which a lot of the usul, a lot of the principles of Ifta and a Mufti have been elucidated, have been explained, and Hazrat Mufti Rafi Saab, Rahmatullah Alayhi, would explain that to us with all of his years of knowledge. So perhaps that time when we went to study there, it was around 2002, or 2003, which is roughly 19 or 20 years back, and Mufti Rafi Saab would have been of around 66, 67 years of age at that particular time. And you can imagine the great amount of hikmat and wisdom and foresight and experience that he had at that time. Already he had been granted the title by the ulama of Pakistan by a unanimous decision that Mufti Rafi Usmani Saab should now be called, after the passing of Mufti Rashid Ahmad Saab, if I'm not mistaken, that Mufti Rafi Usmani Saab should be granted the title of Mufti Azam Pakistan or the Grand Mufti of Pakistan. This title was not bestowed upon him by the government or by officials who are not familiar with what it is that a Mufti should be knowing, like in certain countries. Rather, the title was afforded to him by the people of his very own fraternity, by the Muftis and the Ulama of Pakistan, unanimously, that Mufti Rafi Usmani Saab, Rahmatullah Ali, should be called Mufti Azam of Pakistan, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan. And that was because of his in-depth knowledge of matters, the balance in his approach, the selectiveness in the words with which he spoke with. The fact of the matter is, the reality of the matter is, that you could have transcribed a bayan or a lecture of his to the T. You could have transcribed it without making any additions, because he was so balanced and so careful in the utterances that he made with his tongue. There was no emotion in it. It was, as a Mufti, you have to be very, very, you have to keep emotions out of legal juristic rulings. And he was an embodiment of that. One of the other aspects, and maybe I should just mention to you, Maulana, some of the interactions, some of the anecdotes, some of the stories that he told us. So one of the things that he taught us while we were studying was that he said to us that I was born in Deoband, and my family, my ancestors for generations were from Deoband. And after I was born in Deoband, I lived 12 years of my life in Deoband, and I completed 15 paras or 15 juz of the Quran, hifz of the Quran in Deoband. And I studied in Darul Uloom Deoband, and my father was an ustad in Darul Uloom Deoband. And then at the age of 12, when we migrated, because of the partition of India and Pakistan, we migrated to Pakistan and we came to Karachi. At some stage, he said, I used to write with my name Muhammad Rafi Deobandi. Muhammad Rafi Deobandi. And the fact of the matter was that there could not have been anyone more worthy of writing Deobandi with his name than me, because I was born there, my ancestors were from there, I studied there, I did a lot of my hifz there. So I was a Deobandi. And that's why I was writing with my name, Deobandi. But then he said to us, he said, one day my father, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, the author of Maariful Quran, he said to me that, beta, ye jo aap apne naam ke saath Deobandi likhte ho, wo na likha kare. This that you write Deobandi with your name, don't write it. And he said, isme firqa variyat ki boo aati hai.
Allah Akbar.
There is a stench of sectarianism when you write this, groupings. And this is not what we need in the Ummah. This is something that divides the Ummah. And therefore, I understand that you are from there, that you studied there, that you are born there, that our ancestors were from there. But don't write the name Deobandi with your name, because it creates an impression of groupings in the Ummah. So this was his concern, and the concern of our elders, that there must not be any groupings in the Ummah. The Ummah must be united. The Ummah must be one Ummah. And this was an amazing anecdote and something that we learned a lot from in our interactions with Hazrat Mufti Rafi Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala fill his qabr with noor. Other aspects of his life, he was very, very particular when it came to aspects regarding money and funds. Even that money and funds that were in his pocket, anyone would give him anything, this is for the madrasa, this is for your personal, immediately he would write it down. And it is mentioned about him that he had his wasiyat and his bequest and his will, and any aspect that needed to be attended to, he had it in his pocket. And he would say from his house to his office is hardly a 3-minute walk. But if he got something at his home and he was going to the office, he would write it down and he would keep it in his pocket, and he would say that if I were to pass away on the way to my office, which is a 3-minute walk, people must not think that this money that is in my pocket is my personal money. This is money actually that belongs to the madrasa, and accordingly it must be given to the madrasa. Now these seem to be very, very small things, but this is the level of taqwa, piety, concern, consciousness, worry, you know. And these are things that actually made these elders of ours, role models. It showed us and it taught us about their taqwa. I heard towards the tail end of Mufti Hafiz's program and what he was stating, that Mufti Rafi Sahib had a very refined taste, very, very refined taste. And all you have to do is Google the pictures of Darul Uloom Karachi and look at that, those pictures. It is an amazing, amazing, project, over 80 acres, beautiful buildings, wonderful campuses, beautiful kitchen and mess. 4,000 children and students can eat at one time in there. And he was an administrator par excellence. One alim actually mentioned that Darul Uloom Karachi is too small a project and an institution for the likes of Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib to be administrating and managing. He should have been an administrator and a manager and the head of a state and a government, actually. This was the level of administration skills and power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed this amazing individual with. One of the kitabs that he has written, and I read this kitab perhaps before even I went to study, or maybe after I came back from my studies. I don't recall the exact time, but the name of this kitab is Ye Tere Pur Asrar Bande. These servants of yours who are full of secrets, Ye Tere Pur Asrar Bande, referring to the Mujahideen of Afghanistan. And Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib, he sort of writes about his engagement when he went to participate in the jihad against the Russians of Afghanistan very many years ago, but he went because that was the need of the hour, the need of the time. So he went and he even fired on the front line and he even participated in the jihad. The total period of time that he was there on the front line, the whole safar and journey was perhaps a week, maybe slightly more than that, slightly less than that. But on the front line, he was about 1.5 or 2 days on the front line. But he has written 350 or 400 pages on that. And if you were to read the book, I can assure you, you would not want to put that book down. He has captured the whole 1.5 days or that whole journey in so much of detail that you feel that you are on the front line with him. Everything is like pictured, is there. And I like to quote a statement that someone wrote for our Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, and perhaps we can say that for Mufti Rafi Sahab Rahmatullah Ali as well. Tera har har baya ek ek malfooz aur har mazmoon. Tera har har baya ek ek malfooz aur har mazmoon. Fasahat ki alamat hai, balagat ki nishani hai. This is the reality of this amazing individual. He had a lot of qualities. He was not hasty ever in his approach. He was an embodiment of the hadith, which states, Al-ana'atu min Allah wal-ajlatu min ash-shaytan. That taking things easy, doing it in a informed manner, making informed decisions, taking it calmly and coolly, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hastiness is actually from shaitan. Mufti Rafi Usmani sahab rahmatullah alayhi was an embodiment of this. If anyone was rushing to get a fatwa, he would not rush. He would say, you should rather go and get that answer from someone else. I will have to do a fair amount of research before I can give you that answer. So these were some of the interactions, and there are so many interactions that come to mind. I'm not sure about whether time is available or not.
We have time. You can go till 9 o'clock, Mufti Sahab.
So on one occasion, Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, he said to us that they were young, the two brothers, Mufti Taqi and Mufti Rafi Usmani. And the difference in their age is 7 years. So one person asked them, and they stay next to each other, and they've been involved in business together. They have a bookshop which was theirs together at some stage, and then they separated, of course. They stayed next to each other. They handled the affairs of Darul Uloom Karachi together. They studied together. They were in the same class, Mufti Taqi and Mufti Rafi. They did Dora Hadith together. They did Takhassus together. Then they ran Darul Uloom together. So someone asked him, Mufti Rafi Usmani, that have you ever had a squabble or a disagreement between the two of you? Has there ever been that? You do business together, everything. He said, never.
Yeah, never. Allah, sure.
And this is an amazing, amazing quality of these two brothers, that they never had a squabble. There was never disagreement. There was never fighting between the two of them. And naturally, sometimes one would feel when you stay together in that manner, when there might be differences of opinion, you might disagree on certain aspects. But he said, we have never, ever had. Even when we separated our businesses, we did it in such a manner that it is an example for the world to see. So he said, but how did you achieve this? Someone asked him. And he said, let me tell you how we were able to achieve this. So he said that iska raaz ye hai, the secret to it is ke main unko bada samajhta hu, wo mujhe bada samajhte hai. Subhanallah, what a thing. He is 7 years elder to Mufti Taqi Usmani, He said, I consider him to be elder.
Hello.
I consider him to be bigger. And he considers me to be bigger. And when this is the condition from both sides, then there can only be peace. There can only be harmony. Hum tumhare, tum hamare ho chuke. Dono janib se ishare ho chuke. You know, and this is an amazing, amazing quality, something that I would love for our listeners out there to imbibe, to make part and parcel of their lives. Respect each other, respect one another, treat, let the other. The only way you will fight with someone else is when you consider that person to be down. When you consider him to be bigger, greater, respectful, you will never fight with such an individual. You know, so this is an amazing, amazing secret to create unity, peace, harmony, solace, comfort in our relationships. And I thought that it would be very apt and appropriate for us to discuss that particular aspect of his teachings. There is one more aspect, perhaps, that is coming to mind now, and that is that. Look at the nazar, the sight of the awliya of the ummah that was on these two brothers. So on one occasion, after their father had passed away, both of them had taken bay'at on the hands of Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahmatullah alayhi, who was not a formal alim, but he was a khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, rahmatullah alayhi, Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi, rahmatullah alayhi. And on one occasion, Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Kandelvi, rahmatullah alayhi, wrote a letter to Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi, rahmatullah alayhi, and in that letter he wrote, that I am writing to you with regards to these two brothers. They have got a lot of potential, referring to Mufti Taqi Usmani and Mufti Rafi Usmani, Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, and Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatuhum, that these two brothers have got a lot of potential, they have got a lot of skills, but I fear that the aspect of them being sons of a great father must not get to their heads, because that is something that might stifle their progress. So look at Mufti Maulana Shahzad Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali sitting in India, but he is concerned for the Ummah. He can see the potential that these two and the impact that these two brothers will have on the Ummah, and he feels that there might be certain danger that I must bring to the attention of their Sheikh. Right? So he writes to them. So, and he says to Dr. Abdul Hayy Sahab Arifi Rahmatullah Alayhi, that because I have this fear, I'm bringing it to your attention, and you should do something to ensure that this does not hinder their progress in any manner. So when Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi Rahmatullah Alayhi got this letter, he then instructed both brothers that both of them must not give bayans anymore. And at that stage in their lives, they were addressing tens of thousands of people in Jumma lectures, in various jalsas. He told both of them that no more writing in newspapers, sending articles to newspapers. Their articles used to appear already in the newspapers because they used to address issues. So he told them no more, all of this. And no more addressing public gatherings. And no more Jumma bayans. And you must just go and teach your sabak in Darul Uloom and return, come back. And whatever other work you might be doing, writing your kitabs and all of that, that you continue, but no more public interactions. And this happened not for a period of 1 month or 2 months, not for 6 months or 1 year, for 10 solid years. Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi Rahmatullah Alayhi stopped both brothers from any public interactions of this nature. No Jummah bayans. And Mufti Muhammad Rafi Usmani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was narrating this incident directly to us. So he said after 10 years, And after a lot of people said to him that now, you know, let them give bayans, the ummah needs it, and all of that. And when he had realized that his objective had been achieved, so look at how, you know, we just look at the end of someone's life and we make judgments and decisions. But look at the mujahada that they had to go through, that their sheikh put them through. So he says at the end of that 10 years, one day, Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi Rahmatullah Ali, he told me all of a sudden one day, he said that, look, the Jumma Bayan that you give and that you used to give in Darul Uloom, you start giving it again. Start giving the Jumma Bayan again. He said, I got a shock of my life. But then he said to me, he said, Dekho, Farmaishi Bayan Mat Karna, Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi Rahmatullah Ali is telling Mufti Rafi Usmani. He says, Dekho, bhai, Farmaishi Bayan Mat Karna, or Rivayati Bayan Bhi Mat Karna. So, which means in English that don't give a bayan on a topic that has just been requested of you to give. And don't give a bayan that is just a traditional bayan, you know, a generalized bayan, a generalized topic. So Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahab, and this is a quality. He said, Phir Hazrat, hum kya bayan kare?
Subhanallah.
Phir kya bayan kare? If we are not going to give a bayan that someone asked us to give, or a bayan that's a general traditional bayan, what bayan should we give? So Mufti Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi Rahmatullah Ali told them, the two brothers, Jaha jao, waha dekho, ke zakham kaha hai, waha marham lagao. Wherever you go, look at where the wound is and apply ointment on that wound. In other words, wherever you go, look at what the need of that community, that gathering is, and address them with a topic and in the manner and at the level that particular gathering needs and requires. And that is an amazing, amazing piece of advice. That you don't just give a bayan because that's what you prepared. You give a bayan based on what the people in your audience need and require. And I saw it firsthand in Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahab, that his bayans were not just traditional. It was very, very practical. It was implementable. It was the need of the hour. Whichever bayan I heard, whenever I heard his bayan, this was the nature of his bayans. Very, very thought-provoking, very, very important, very, very apt and appropriate. These were أُولَٰئِكَ آبَائِي فَجِئْنِي بِمِثْلِهِمُ إِذَا جَمَعَتْكَ يَا جَرِيرُ الْجَوَامِعُ. These were our fathers. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala elevate his status. Allah tabarak wa Allahumma la tahrimna ajra wa la tafsinna ba'da waghfir lana wala. I would really appeal to all of the listeners to read some of his works, make isal-e-sawab for him. These are the people whose legacies and whose advices will make our lives, even after they have gone and they have passed away. You know, one of the other things that he mentioned to us, he said that at Darul Uloom Karachi, when we complete our Mufti course, and it's a 3-year solid course, it's a solid course, it's like nowhere else in the world, I think, that level of scrutiny on fatawa, teaching you how to write, you know, a lot of scrutiny, a lot of training goes into it. He says at the end of those 3 years, those students who studied, we don't give them any certificate. We don't give them any certificate. He said later on, after years, when people in your community start calling you Mufti, then you will be a Mufti. Otherwise, we don't give the certificate of Mufti. Yeah, what we do is we will give you a testimonial, a tasdeeq nama, to say that you practiced how to write fatwas by us. And in that testimonial, we will write that we are giving it to you because you requested it, otherwise we won't even give you this. This is the level of, you know, this is the importance that they laid to this field, that you don't just become a mufti. And he was actually quite upset sometimes with certain very expeditious courses or very fast courses. Within 6 months and within 1 year, people become muftis. And this is not something that he approved of, because becoming a mufti requires a transfer of a mizaj and a temperament. And that takes time. That person, the seniors or the institute where you're studying, that mizaj and that temperament must come. The mizaj and the temperament of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of the Quran, must come into you, and that is what will make you a mufti after years and years and years of engaging with the communities, of answering their issues. And this was one of the other things that came to mind with regards to Hazrat Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib and some of the interactions that we had with him, alhamdulillah.
Mufti Saab, it was amazing, really. The listeners also saying, what a beautiful program. We say Jazakallah, always coming on. You've benefited from them. Your Asatiza, Allah Ta'ala has really blessed you. Really, you're an honor for the community of South Africa, Darul Ihsan, and all the amazing work you're doing. May Allah accept from you. May Allah take more and more work from you. And may Allah use you for the service of deen.
Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullah for the opportunity. And Allah reward you as well abundantly for all your efforts.
Really, both the guests, Mufti Hafiji as well as Mufti Jakura, Kamal Hafka, all telling us of regards to Mufti Rafi Uthmani Saab, Rahmatullahi Alayhi. I just want to share with you one or two things. I read the kitab, Terepur Asrar Bandeh, you know, where Mufti Saab speaks of his trip to Afghanistan. Allah knows best where the English of that went. I've been hunting and hunting and hunting for that English kitab somewhere. I want to reread it. It's an amazing read. If I tell you it's a wonderful read, Mufti Saab speaks of his time, where the landmines were, how they tried to avoid landmines. It's amazing. If you read that kitab, you'll just be mesmerized at the bravery of Mufti Rafi Uthmani Saab, rahmatullahi alayhi. Mufti Saab, you know, came to South Africa when we were in Darul Uloom Zakaria. I remember Mufti Saab because he had a unique way of tying his turban, where he would take one of the parts that come out of the turban in the front, almost look like a flower, which was very different to what we were accustomed to. And I remember Mufti Saab well and sitting in some of the talks of Hazrat Mufti Rafi Uthmani Saab. The way he honors his brother, Ya Allah, just, you know, sibling love, sibling compassion and affection is truly something that it stands out in the life of these two brothers, something that is a lesson for each one of us to learn. Also in terms of being steadfast by a spiritual mentor. For 10 years, imagine they stop one of us, so you can't give bayan, no radio program. We would be so upset, but yet they were dedicated to reformation. And after that, Allah used them for deen in every part of the world. The amount of kitabs Mufti Saab has written. If anyone wants, I have a link to Mufti Saab's kitabs. I could send it to you. You could download a lot of the kitabs that he has written down. Truly a loss for the ummah at large. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with nur. May Allah make it such that there's no fitna after the death of Mufti Saab in the ummah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on iman. Take us away from this world with iman and resurrect us with iman. We play you two clips as we go. One is a nizam that's been written on the passing away of Mufti Saab. One is a clip that he has given. Mufti Shafiq Jakura has made mention of it. We listen to these, and thereafter we take the news, and on that we close the program. Jazakumullahu khaira. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.